I'd like to turn your attention to Matthew, the third chapter. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 11. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, he said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Glory to God. Then if you'll go to Acts, the second chapter, it's the fulfillment. Verse number 3, it says, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance." Baptize, he said, with the Holy Ghost, with fire. Now, in the Bible, oil represents the Holy Ghost, but it needs to have fire as well. You'll turn to Titus, the third chapter. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Now, in the beginning, we were filled with the Holy Ghost, but there has to be a renewing of the Holy Ghost. If you're living on what happened 20 years ago, it just won't work. There has to be a refreshing. There has to be a renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then if you go to Leviticus, the 24th chapter. Leviticus 24 and verse number 2. Verse number 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive beaten, for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually." So what God is saying is, there has to be a refreshing. It's a shadow and type. There has to be a refreshing of the oil, fresh oil, sometimes beaten, in order to continue to be refreshed. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God this evening. Lord, that it would minister to us as you would allow it. Touch us, God, as only you can. And revive us because of your Spirit. Revive us, God. Refresh us. Fill us up again. Because we don't know when you're coming. And we want to be ready. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I have a candle here that reflects what we're going to be talking about. I don't know how long this candle will work or last. But it's somewhat like us. We get burned out from time to time. We get melted down from time to time. You know, just about every church, every denomination has candles. And sometimes they're for sale. And then you light them. And there's different reasons for different denominations having candles and lighting them for relative, for sickness, or whatever. In fact, the other day, somebody bought my wife a mechanical candle. It was one of these battery candles that, you know, it flickers. It's kind of cute. But it's not like the real thing. And in fact, I read about a church that had coin-operated candles. So you could come in and put coins in, and then it would renew the battery, and you have, it's so much easier, you know, than striking a match or lighting something. Glory to God. If you'd turn to Matthew 25, please. Verse number 1. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps while the bridegroom tarried. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. None of us know when Jesus is coming. I said the other night that I had an app on my phone that told me about every earthquake that happened in the world, and I had to take the app off because every 5 minutes it was notifying me of an earthquake. It's a sign of the end times. Some of the things that are happening in the economy, some of the things that are happening in the world, the wars and the rumors of war. There's so many wondering whether or not there's really going to be a war in Russia right now. That's all part of the end times. Jesus is coming soon. This is not a time to be foolish. This is not a time to play church. This is not a time to fake it until you make it. This is a time to be full of the Holy Ghost and fire. I'll tell you what, you're not going to be on fire unless you're full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Here's a very simple parable that I'll try to make more complicated for you so you think that it's more valuable. But isn't it great the way God operates and give us a beautiful picture in words that really identifies with each and every one of us? So everyone who wants truth can really receive it. Jesus gives us a picture of 10 virgins or maidens that were espoused to be married, and they're waiting for the groom to come back. That's us, folks. We're really not married. We're in an engagement right now. But there's going to come a time where we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll all dress for it. Righteousness of the saints. They were all given lamps with oil. We were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It was all to help them see their way through the darkness to meet the bridegroom. And once they accepted the proposal from the bridegroom, once we repented and said, I want to live for God, their only obligation was to stay awake and to stay active and keep their lamps filled with oil and lit. We have been espoused to Jesus. He has gone away to prepare a place for us. He's coming back again. Revelation 19 and 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. We are making ourselves ready. I've seen the turmoil in the life of a bride just before the wedding. I'll tell you what, they're just frantic. They'll never get it all done, you know, all of that, nervous. If there was ever a time that we should be a little bit nervous about having everything in place for the wedding, it should be now, folks. We must always be ready, and being ready means being full of oil and on fire for God. When we received the Holy Ghost, we became a part of the bride. We're going to be met in the air with our God, and God filled us with heavenly oil to guide us through the dark places in this world and the things that we can't comprehend or even take care of ourselves, that we could be a light for others to see. If we turned off all of the light in here, there wouldn't be any question that there was a candle that was burning here. And when each of you walk out of here, you're going to walk into darkness, and there are going to be people who are going to look at you, and they're going to know that you have the light, you have the oil, you are on fire for God. Oh, why did this happen to me? So you can show your light to somebody else. Hallelujah. Psalms 132 and 17, God said, I have ordained a lamp for my anointed. Hallelujah. We're the lamp. He fills us with oil. So did you get your lamp? And what are you doing with your lamp? What are you doing with the Holy Ghost? Are you just holding on? Are you just resting? Well, Jesus is coming, and I hope I have a little bit of oil left. No, our responsibility is to keep filled. He filled us in the first place, but you know what? It's our responsibility to get filled on a regular basis. Are we maintaining a level? Not just enough to get by until he comes, but filled. Isaiah 62 and 1 says, salvation is as a lamp that burneth. Hallelujah. So as long as our lamps are full of oil and burning, we have salvation. Glory to God. If we're not so much a light to other people or even our own family, well, maybe we need some more oil and we need to be relit again. You see, the oil is the earnest of our inheritance. It's really what keeps us going here, but it's really the thing that takes us out of this world. Without it, we don't have a passport for another dimension. We really don't. It's the security deposit on what God purchased. It's the engagement ring given to the bride. The oil is the guarantee that he is coming back for us. Hallelujah. The guarantee that he's coming back for us. No oil. He said the door was shut. And nobody could get in. It's not my words, it's Jesus' words. Romans, the 8th chapter, if you would. I remember laying on my bed about 36 years ago and weeping over the scripture. Verse number 11 of that 8th chapter, it says, but if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by the Spirit, by the oil that dwelleth within you. So it is the oil, or it is the Spirit that is within us, not only that keeps us and gives us the energy to live for God, but it is also the ticket, it's the rocket fuel out of this place. Hallelujah. Just don't try to get by with a little. A promise that if we can use the oil he gave to us to lead us through the problems of this earthly house, then he's coming back for us to give us a brand new house, a heavenly house. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse number 1. Says, for we know that if our earthly houses of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, or a structure or a dwelling of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, or this new body which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that what we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the same self thing is God, who also have given us their earnest of our spirit. So what he's saying is, here is the down payment. Here is the engagement ring. Here's the rocket fuel in order to get out of here and be strong. But we can also determine how much we have. You see, there were foolish virgins and there were wise virgins. One valued and one didn't. Glory to God. Ephesians, the first chapter, if you will. Ephesians 1 and verse number 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It is the seal, which is what? The earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So it is the down. I'm coming back for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Every time you speak in tongues, I'm coming back. You can be guaranteed God's coming back for his bride. Amen. Hallelujah. It's my right. It's my earnest. It's my engagement ring. Amen. Glory to God. So the oil of the Holy Ghost that burns within us is the earnest of our inheritance, the redemption of our purchased possession. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. A lamp was lit when we were filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. There's fire. You know, I know we don't see the fire, and I've said this over the years. It would have been a wonderful thing that when people were praying for the Holy Ghost, like Kenny got the Holy Ghost. You know, he's driving an hour and a half just to get to church here. But wouldn't it have been great this morning if there was a little tongue of fire on top of his head? Got it. I counted four flames this morning. You know? Well, but then perhaps God would just have some flames snuffed out. People are sitting here without flames. You're wondering, hey, what's going on in your life? But the Bible says that it was like as fire. And the word fire, if you look in the original Greek, it's like lightning from above that gives us power. So we get power. The more power we get is because the more oil or Holy Ghost that we have. When you see people bobbing around here, they got power. And how did you get the Holy Ghost in the first place? Oh, I remember. I lifted my hands and I started worshiping God. Hallelujah. We got enough power in this place to blow up Russia tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Or power to seal us and save us and keep us. Glory to God. As an evidence of God's promise to each and every one of us, we have oil. Would you turn to Genesis, the 15th chapter? I know it's supposed to be preaching and we're not supposed to be using a lot of scripture, but, well, Genesis 15, verse number 8. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Hallelujah. So, this is also a promise. He showed Abram a promise. Galatians 3 and 29 tells us, "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise, according to the promise." If we'll look at that scripture one more time in verse chapter number 15 and go on to verse number 16, it says, "But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river of Euphrates." And so what you're seeing here is he's saying, Lord, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit? And he's saying, well, here, take the sacrifice, and you will find that there's going to be a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that will pass between those pieces. And then according to Galatians, we have that promise as well. So in the midst of the darkness, when things don't seem to be going well for us, you've made your sacrifice and been faithful to God. We have made our sacrifice holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's saying, present yourself a living sacrifice, if you will. And the fowls of the air, or the spirits of this world, there are so many things that are attacking us on a regular basis, are trying to steal our sacrifice or steal our salvation. You fight to maintain your spiritual integrity all of the time because of what we're exposed to. Perhaps you wonder if God has noticed your sacrifice at all, your worship in the middle of darkness when perhaps other people aren't worshiping, and then the burning lamp passes between the sacrifice to reassure you of his promise. That's what God wants to do. He wants to reassure you every time you come in here with the Holy Ghost and fire to reassure you, I'm coming back for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said some weeks ago, I started working as a claims adjuster in 1967 for a New York insurance company, and they gave me all of the paperwork, and you know, it's amazing at how some things just stick in your mind. And on the paperwork, I happened to glance at my retirement date, which I think was 2011. And I thought, 2011? Come on. That is centuries from now. That's eons from now. You know, I got a lot of living to do. I got a lot of things. I've got big plans. If you're a young person in here, this message doesn't seem to apply to you because you got a whole lot of living to do. I've got a whole lot of plans. But God might just change those plans. Don't ever get to the place where you're going to fake it until you make it. Don't think that, well, you know, I got a lot of time in order to get right with God. You don't know if you have a lot of time to get right with God. Hallelujah. Some of us know we don't have a whole lot of time because we're getting a little older, and it's reminded every time we look in the mirror. But some of us may all have the same amount of time. Glory to God. God points to the burning lamp to remind us. And you begin to feel the fresh oil flow and a new burning inside to drive the foul from the air. All those thoughts that come into your head. Do you realize, and I hope you do, that you know, God can read your thoughts, but the devil can't. And just because he deposits a thought in your brain doesn't mean that you're guilty of what the thought says. He's just wondering, are you going to respond to it or not? Hallelujah. I get ugly thoughts in my head all of the time, and I'm the pastor. But I don't answer the phone. Here comes another ugly thought. Here comes another foul in the air to my head. And you know what I do? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Got to drive them away. Got to drive them away with the fire. Got to drive them away with the oil. Got to drive them away. Save the sacrifice. You know, just about all of religion, as I mentioned, has this tradition and it has an origin in the Bible that somehow there's a burning candle that represents the presence of God. And they don't want the light to go out in the church. But we don't want the light to go out in our life. In Bible days, it was common that when people made a covenant with each other, they would light a candle or they would light a lamp to represent the covenant or the promise that they made between each other. If the promise was ever in question, the recipient of the promise would point to the lamp and state, "That is my witness." You see, the witness that we have the Holy Ghost, is the oil and the fire. At early marriages, a lamp would be lit as a couple would take their vows. Sounds like our unity candle. But that lamp would be taken home with the newly married couple, and the oil would be replenished every day. You know, this could work. This really could work. See, you got to work on your marriage. You've got to work on your relationship with God. You have to replenish the oil, not just Wednesdays and Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, but you got to replenish the oil on a regular basis. Hallelujah. The burning lamp was a symbol of the promise that they made at an altar. If there was any conflict to the marriage, someone would point to the burning lamp. Say, remember? You know, I think what we should do from now on in every marriage, we should record the vows. And the wife would get a copy of his vows, and the husband would get a copy of their vows, and just carry that recorder with them. And just remember what you said? Glory to God. Abram divided the sacrifice, which also the covenant between him and God. As one animal was divided in two parts, so the two parties make the covenant that were one in mind. The phrase "make a covenant" was used many times in the Bible. It literally meant to cut a covenant. And as the sacrifice was cut in two pieces, the burning lamp passed between both pieces. Can we more clearly understand what happened at Calvary when Jesus was cut in two for us, God and man, nailed to the cross, if you will, a sacrifice, a covenant promise, and a burning lamp passed between those pieces from God to man. And what we're representing, what we're seeing, is the covenant of the promise in the upper room when the lamp was lit. The lamp was lit because the oil was filled, and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost, like as fire. You know what? There wasn't any question in their mind. You know what? This is a sign of the promise or the covenant that God said he would keep with us. Hallelujah. It was evidence that Jesus was my sacrifice, and I know that I am the heir to the promise. And if you are ever in doubt, point to the burning lamp. If you're ever in doubt, you know what you need to do? You need to go back to that morning or that evening when you were filled with the Holy Ghost. Can anybody remember that? Amen. Hallelujah. It was a Sunday evening for me. Amen. It was like 3 months I was just tearing for the Holy Ghost. It was that Sunday night, and I was determined I was going to get the Holy Ghost. And after I got the Holy Ghost, I couldn't believe how easy it was. I just took in a breath, and out came these words that I had never spoken before. And there must have been 50 people that were around me because I was one of those hard cases. I'll never forget it. But there is any kind of doubt whether or not I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad, all I need to do is go back to the light and say, I know when you gave me the promise. Hallelujah. I wonder if Jesus ever takes Satan on a tour of the lamps burning in the darkness. Wouldn't that be great? Come on, I want to show you a bunch of lights. Hallelujah. I want to show you some people who were burning for me. Glory to God. Could you turn to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter? Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20. For all of the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. We're talking about promises, and we're talking about earnest, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit that is within us. Hallelujah. If you ever are in doubt, you know what? You need to just find yourself a little corner and start worshiping God and speaking in another language, knowing, hey, there's oil in me. There's still fire within me. Hallelujah. Nothing is going to come between me and the sacrifice. Nothing is going to come between me and the promise of God. I don't want to be numbered with the five foolish virgins. I believe that there are going to be some very disappointed Pentecostals one day. And as a pastor, I do everything that I possibly can in order to make an ample opportunity for everybody to get filled every service. Because no one knows the day or the hour. You don't know when our Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. Five foolish. Half of the church was foolish and didn't replenish their lamp when they had an opportunity. The altar is open. Half of them came to the altar. Half of them went to the foyer. That's tough preaching, Pastor. Well, maybe that's what it's going to take. You know? Hallelujah. You know, the longer I serve God, the less sure I am that I'm going to make it at all. Not that I'm not living for God, but I recognize his righteousness is so far beyond my righteousness. I don't earn heaven in any way. I just want to be there. I don't want a crown. All I want to do is get through the threshold, folks. Hallelujah. I don't want to wait till late. I don't want to get to the place where I'm rushing to find some oil because I'm thinking God's going to come in a short period of time. It said they trimmed their lamps, meaning they didn't give any regard to getting more oil, and the flame went out that burned within them. Hallelujah. I know we can't see the flame on everybody, but I can see the flame. This is seven steps up here, and I look out on a congregation, and I wonder if some just let the flame go out. They're still coming, but are they ready? Hallelujah. You know, you'd be wise, Pastor, if you just pronounced everybody saved and everybody's good in here. I'm just glad you're showing up every once in a while, but that is not enough because there were some people who were disappointed. I don't want anybody to be disappointed when the trumpet sounds. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Have you ever seen a candle go out? We have Bible studies on Thursdays, and a lot of times we light candles, and then I go to bed and I forget a candle, and sometimes in the morning there's just a little bit of flame left because almost all of the wax is gone. It's just burning on a little bit of residue, just flickering, you know? And I don't have to blow it out. It'll just smother. It'll go out. And folks, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19 says, quench not the Spirit. Don't extinguish it. Keep it going. Keep it alive. Fan the flame, you know? Keep it alive. You don't realize who's looking at your flame. You don't realize the light you give to somebody. Darkness. Glory to God. I want to be ready. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. Hallelujah. One more scripture. Could you turn to Exodus 27? If the musicians would come. Exodus chapter 27 and verse number 20. We find Moses is giving instructions. In fact, he's giving commands. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure oil, olive beaten, for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. Hallelujah. And we need to do just that. Amen. Keep the oil coming, Jesus. Amen. Keep it lit, God. Amen. Keep me excited, God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because my God's coming soon. Amen. I want to be ready. Amen. Are you ready? Amen. Hallelujah. Ready or not, here I come. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. You know, unfortunately, there can be some candle snuffers in here. You know, do you really have to be that crazy, Frank? I mean, you guys, you start service at quarter to the hour, you know, and I haven't even gotten out of the car yet. Do you really? Yes. I just feel that I'm a little low on oil. Well, I checked the oil in my car, but I never checked the oil of the Holy Ghost. Just doesn't make sense. Amen. Glory to God. Don't want the car to be ruined. But I don't want my salvation ruined either. Hallelujah. Keep on pouring. Amen. Come to the spout where the Holy Ghost is poured out. Generally, it's up in this area. Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?